Welcome to Culture Over Coffee, a podcast focused on improving company culture and fostering employee engagement. Every week, we chat with experts and thought leaders about the latest proven practices to reduce regrettable turnover, increase productivity, and retain key customers. So pour a cup of your favorite brew and join us. I'm your host, Beth Sunshine, SVP at Up Your Culture. In this episode, Dan Kessler, president of Energage, joins me to explore how data and action come together to create thriving workplace cultures. Drawing on insights from millions of employee surveys and thousands of companies, Dan shares how organizations can move beyond measuring engagement to activating it. Dan has some amazing takeaways like why employee engagement data reveals what leaders can't always see and how assumptions can quietly derail culture. Why survey fatigue isn't real, it's actually inaction fatigue, and how authentic follow-through restores trust, and how middle managers often caught between leadership and employees play a pivotal role in turning insights into cultural momentum. Hey, Dan, and welcome to Culture Over Coffee. I'm really glad you joined me today. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah. So you lead Energage as president, where your team partners with organizations like mine to measure and elevate workplace culture through analytics, through insights. I know you've been doing this for a long time. I was on your LinkedIn and noticed it's been nearly 15 years. Mm-hmm. You've been helping shape the Top Workplaces program, working with thousands of companies, millions of survey responses to uncover what truly drives engagement. So in preparing for our conversation today, I was reading interviews and whatnot, and I read somewhere that you had once said that building a top workplace isn't about grand gestures. It's about consistent, authentic effort informed by genuine employee voice. And I just love the way you said that. I assume you said that. I think that was a direct quote. It looked like one. And I love it. And I couldn't agree more. And that's exactly why I want you here today. That's what I want to explore with you today.
No, I appreciate that. And I think, you know, culture can be such a big word. And it can mean so many different things to different people. And you know, as we think about the work that we do together and just kind of shaping cultures in general, I think at the end of the day, we both know that it ultimately gets down to how people interact in the moment, in crucial conversations, when things are stressful, when things are confusing, when things are uncertain. And it is those intentional gestures and those moments that tend to really, you know, when really strong cultures tend to really shine. And so, so absolutely that is, you know, you are right there in terms of the types of things that we're thinking about and trying to understand and working with, you know, the very best companies that end up being top workplaces.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I've got a bunch of questions.
Let's do it.
I'm going to run by you, excited for your opinion. So we're going to start big picture.
Sure.
From your vantage point, why is it important for organizations to even measure employee engagement?
Yep.
What does survey data uniquely reveal that leaders can't see in the day-to-day operations?
So I think that's the right place to start. And before I answer that question specifically, I thought, you know, maybe it'd just be helpful to ground everybody on what exactly are we measuring? Because I think that'll help sort of set the conversation and also help provide that clarity of like, so what the heck are you two talking about here when you're saying these words, culture and employee engagement and stuff? So, you know, what we measure encompasses what we have determined over, you know, like you said, over the past couple of decades, really drives employee engagement, drives business results. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later on as we get into it. But fundamentally, we look at things, one, through the lens of the individual employee experience. So if you think about that for the individual, that's typically things like pay and benefits, training, work-life balance, things that are kind of about me and my personal experience as an employee. Secondly, we measure things that are really about the manager and the frontline employee relationship. So if you think about what's usually involved in that dynamic, it's things like, you know, am I as an employee appreciated for the work that I'm doing? Do we have a more inclusive environment? Are we open to new ideas? Am I being supported in terms of finding growth opportunities, reaching my potential? So those things tend to happen in that unit with the manager and the frontline employee. Mm-hmm. And then we measure things that tend to be, frankly, more the purview of senior leadership in the executive team. And so from that lens, it's things like the direction of the company, operating by a sense of values, having a sense of meaning and purpose in the work. And then often about how work gets done cross-functionally, how communication happens, just kind of basic execution. You know, how difficult is it or easy is it to get things done in an organization? And all of that kind of drives employee engagement, which, as you know, is really a mindset, right? It's really about, you know, we measure it through the lens of, am I motivated to give my best? Am I loyal to my employer? And frankly, am I willing to refer a friend or colleague? So the sort of classic, you know, ENPS or Employee Net Promoter Score. Yeah. And so everything we're talking about here, I just wanted to kind of frame it in that sense. And so, you know, your question is about, you know, why should someone measure this, right? Because often you talk to folks and talk to leaders especially, and it's, you know, I manage by walking around, or maybe that's now a virtual Zoom room or something. And I kind of, you know, I take the pulse of people. I hang out. I know what's going on, from a leadership perspective. And, while there is no doubt value, right, in that more, either impromptu, casual conversation, what we have seen over and over again is, that has to be supplemented with hard data and comprehensive data. As you know, once you become a leader in an organization, your jokes get funnier. Any idea you have typically gets better. It takes an extraordinary amount of psychological safety, and trust to create an environment where, you know, every employee is really comfortable saying exactly what they think and feel, in a conversation with a leader. So we just, you know, pretty fervently believe that without some mechanism of capturing, in a safe and trusted way, more authentic and comprehensive feedback, you're really missing the insights that you need to build and maintain a winning culture.
Yeah. I'm glad you framed it in that way. It's interesting. We recently spoke with the CEO of a media company, and I was asking her about aha moments and the whole concept of our conversation. We were really talking about listening and how she leans in and really listens to the important things that people around her have to say. And she talked about the engagement surveys and how there are a variety of forms of listening, but the survey for her was one of the most powerful because she's close with her people. She does a lot of walking around, and she kept using the word assume. She said, I assumed that I knew how people felt. And then when she got the survey results back, she talked about how it was sort of shattering because she didn't really know all that she needed to know, and that this allowed her to lean in much more. So I love hearing it sort of from your side of that desk.
And I live it personally, right? Like, we do our own survey, and believe me, you know, it really is, as a leader, especially as a leader, you know, I always joke, it's like very few, hopefully no executive teams are like sitting around their weekly meeting being like, okay, how can we make our employees' lives more miserable this week? You know, like, let's go. Everybody brainstorm ideas. Like, let's go. How can we destroy the culture here? It's like, no, like, you know, most people have pretty good intentions, and, you know, they're trying to do the best they can in their situation. And it's tough. You know, this is ongoing work. But as a leader, you have to find a way to be open to that feedback. That's your point. People just aren't going to tell you. They're just not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart, but it is extremely important. Yeah. Okay. So the survey's done. The results are in. We work with a lot of organizations as they work through this process. So I'm curious to hear your perspective of where should leaders really focus first when companies look at their engagement survey results. I know that companies we work with, their first instinct is, I want to do it all. I want to fix it all. I want all of these numbers to go up. So from your expert perspective, what would you say are the most valuable insights that they should be paying attention to right away? What comes first in the pecking order?
Yeah. So I think you and I are going to be pretty aligned here, which is especially at the company level, you know, it's the pick one to three things that you're going to work on at the company level based on the survey results. And, you know, this, I don't know if this is controversial per se, but in some ways it almost doesn't matter what they are as long as it's tied authentically to the feedback that you received. Mm-hmm. And frankly, oftentimes what we see is that there may be initiatives that are already underway or that you already had in mind that you can connect back to what you're seeing in the survey data. Like, that's okay too. Like, it doesn't have to be some new big thing. Ideally, it ties in to what you're doing. And that's at the company level, which is where, you know, we start. And obviously that can vary if you're a 50-person company versus a 5,000-person company. But fundamentally, there still needs to be some very simple, holistic themes at the company level. And what we try to do is show what's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck from a driving engagement to drive better business results. Yeah. From there is where it really does kind of depend on the maturity of the organization and the appetite and the capabilities for ingesting and acting on feedback. We have organizations, and I'm sure you work with many as well, where they are in, you know, maybe even a weekly groove, right, of taking in some type of feedback from the employees, digesting that, figuring out actions. We have other companies who once a year, that's what they do. And they measure once a year and they kind of weave that into their activities. That, from our perspective, is just a pretty like natural evolution of a culture that you sort of build that muscle of feedback. But ultimately, that's then about how do you cascade that down through your leadership and find, you know, what are those nuances, either by location, by department, by demographic, by tenure, you know, all the ways that we're slicing and dicing the data to drive that next level of action. But if you're not able to, at the top, connect, frankly, just thank everyone for their feedback after the survey is done, any kind of basic stuff, but you'd be surprised that sometimes those simple steps are missed. And that's really where it starts.
Yeah. Interesting to hear you say it may be controversial, but it sort of doesn't matter what you focus on within boundaries. Because that's exactly what we see. I mean, of course, we need to look at the culture items that impact will have the highest impact on engagement.
Right.
But when you look at all those high impact options, you may have 10 or 12 or however many, our team of coaches feels exactly like what you just said. What really matters is that you choose one, you take action on it, everyone's aligned, and you talk about it.
That's right.
You have to talk about it. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we did. Because when people see action is happening, their voice was heard, we see lots of the items rise, not just the one they're working on.
And we hear a lot, so just to build on that, you know, you hear a lot sometimes about survey fatigue.
Yeah.
And that's why we can't run another survey, because there's survey fatigue. It's actually not survey fatigue. It's lack of action fatigue.
Yep.
Or lack of communication fatigue. Because I don't think, you know, employees who are on kind of the receiving end of an exercise like this, the vast majority of them, they're not expecting their employer to do every single thing that comes up in one of these. They just want to know that the company is listening and adapting and that kind of relationship exists and is part of the fabric of how the organization operates. So absolutely, I could not agree more with that. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be, like, to your point, the lowest scoring item. Like, if you determine that there's, you know, room for improvement here, but this is going to make the biggest impact on the business, explain that. Why? Here's what it is. Or here's why we're not doing this thing right now. Like, right. That's the expectation.
Yeah. Well said. Okay. So speaking of all the data that's been collected, not all the data, you can't just put your nose in the spreadsheet and know the full story.
Correct.
There are a lot of common missteps that leaders make in assuming that now they have the survey data, so they, you know everything that they need to know. I'm curious, where do you recommend leaders dig in deeper so they do end up with the full story?
So there's a couple things that we do to try to at least close that gap a bit. And one is around how we gather qualitative feedback. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've been at this for a long time. And so when we first got going, we would say, you know, the classic, like, what do you like about the culture and what could be better? Well, mm-hmm. the answers we get, what do you like about the culture? I like the people. What could be better? You could pay me more. Like, well, you know, not super actionable. And then what we also heard, and you may hear this too, is, you know, you run a survey and then you do a bunch of focus groups to learn. And you're like, well, that seems kind of inefficient. So what we started doing is we ask follow-up questions that adapt based on how the employee is responding to the survey. And again, by no means is that the be-all and end-all, but what it's doing is it's providing that context for if someone really is feeling underappreciated, for example, or if someone is really concerned about the direction, you need to understand, as a leader, you need to just understand, like, that's great to know that, but you need to understand a little more of the why so that you can take action. You also need to, frankly, even within those comments, it's like, if it's a one-off comment, frankly, you may not pay that much attention to it. Whereas, you know, and now with AI, you can do thematic analysis and you can start to see, okay, like, now I have some context for this data, you know, to inform action, which, as you know, at the end of the day, like, with folks like you and others, it's like, ultimately, it's about how do you take this data and turn it into action. And so what we're saying is it's a combination of the quantitative and qualitative data as data as well.
Yeah. I always think of the data itself as sort of the skeleton or the most foundational structure of what I need to know. And then all the comments, the qualitative information that comes with it is the color. It's what's going to bring
it.
That to life. And I think that's what I hear you saying.
100%.
Well.
Oh, could not agree more. I love that. Very well said.
Yeah. So you've talked about even today, the importance of taking action. I've heard you say before that it's important to move from data collection to culture activation. I like that phrase too. My job is all about the activation piece. So I'd love to hear your perspective. How do you think leaders can best use this survey data to inspire meaningful action? So not just treating it as a report card, but treating it as a sort of a blueprint for what's ahead and what they can do.
So I think there's a couple thoughts on that. I think one thing that that can often get missed is when an exercise like an annual engagement survey or any type of employee feedback activity becomes like an HR initiative. Mm-hmm. And what we really encourage, and I'm sure you do the same, is it's got to be connected to the business strategy and business results. Mm-hmm. And so much so that one of the things that we're pretty excited about is we work with an investment research firm called Irrational Capital. And they have, with our essentially survey data, they've built something called the human capital factor. And the human capital factor looks at purely human capital data, so no financial data at all, mm-hmm. To predict future enterprise value. And this is now like a publicly traded ETF on the market. JP Morgan has published, you know, a number of white papers kind of validating this data. And what they and we have proven is that companies that perform well in the human capital factor are outperforming the S&P 500. It's like on a compounding basis, it's like 70% over the past 14 years. And so that, I believe that tends to be a missing piece of really critical connective tissue to activate what has to happen based on this feedback. Because ultimately, you know, as a leader, if you can take voice of employee feedback and build a direct connection into business results and, you know, measurable outcomes for the business, part of that flywheel that we were talking about of just the muscle of feedback and action, it's the same thing, right? You kind of understand how your culture can be a lever, can be a sustainable competitive advantage. And so it's got to start at that level in terms of activating energy. And then the other thing that, again, I'm sure you'd agree with is ultimately, if the leadership team is not bought in on this thing, like, you can make an impact, but it's going to be a really tough, really tough sled. And yeah. So you've got to have buy-in from the very top and really across the full kind of executive team to truly activate the organization.
So true. You really touched on one of the things that we are trying to be the most intentional about, because, you know, any client that we work with in the Up Your Culture program, it was sold into their company at either the C-suite level or, you know, we often will work with the CHRO. So someone way up high is saying, yes, I'm the decision maker and we need to do this. But then that's almost the easy part. We show exactly what you're saying. It's not just a feel good, warm, fuzzy. It connects to revenue generation, profitability, employee retention, you know, all of the business factors you're measuring. Great. But then we roll out the program and now we're talking to the people who need to participate, the leaders who must make all of this happen. And there's a whole different level of buy-in that has to happen.
Indeed. And, you know, and sometimes that is just understandably, you know, it's uncomfortable to have a conversation about feedback, and especially feedback that might be critical of, you know, something that you really care about, which is your, you know, your day-to-day work, your team. And so to your point, a lot of that is sort of just trying to get managers and leaders comfortable with having that, having those crucial conversations and just opening it up and being like, actually, it's okay. You know, it's okay. And yes, I'm sure, you know, there are times where it really is a toxic environment and needs to be addressed, or someone frankly needs to be removed because they're not the right fit, the right leader for whatever reason of that culture. Okay, fine. Like, put those aside. Ultimately, it's just about setting people up to have those kinds of conversations.
That's right. That's right. Which is hard because it's sort of, you know, I'll use like kind of a Thanksgiving analogy. If you don't step on the scale, you don't know for sure how much weight you might have gained over the holidays. So maybe we just don't step on the scale. That's a lot of times, you know, what we hear, like, let us work on this first.
I don't want to see first
before we measure. And also it takes time. You know, it takes time. Which brings me to my next question. We do annual research. We do a pretty big survey of people, leaders, frontline managers, employees, everyone within the organization. And we ask them questions related to engagement just to understand trends across the board. And one of the things that has been really striking to us is every year we seem to see greater isolation in those mid-level managers. So the leaders at the very top are clear on the vision and they're clear on how they, you know, how to lean in and make people feel engaged. And employees who are closest to the action, they're also pretty clear on the things they need to be clear on. And then we have those mid-level managers that seem to be very isolated, many times overworked, overwhelmed, under-supported. And those are the people who need to work the hardest at making this culture thing work. So, you know, data alone doesn't change culture. People change culture. Mm-hmm. Data gives you the direction. So how can leaders take what they've learned from all of your engagement surveys, the insights that are given to them, and then turn that into the kind of support and development that helps managers really drive culture on the ground?
So it's an awesome, awesome observation. And I love the question. And so let me just kind of build on just the fundamental observation, just to affirm what you're seeing in your data, because we tend to see the exact same thing. And part of why is when you think about that middle manager, and I realize you can have multiple layers there. So, but just speaking generally, middle manager, they are in such a tough spot because on the one hand, right, they've got that executive who's trying to give them the direction, telling that, you know, that who they want to align with, right? They want to drive towards that direction. They want to push to change, improve all that. But then they've also got their teams who they're trying to empower, listen to their concerns, address them, give them a, you know, a positive environment and experience, but also push them, coach them. And, you know, sometimes those things are directly aligned, but often those things can come into conflict. And it's just inherent in that middle manager role. So I think, you know, I know this might sound kind of trite, but sometimes it's just acknowledging that with your middle management and just saying, like, one, you all are the crux of driving this organization forward because of the role that you're in. And we get it that it's difficult. And I know this is also going to sound trite, but ultimately this is where the communication up and communication down in all directions and just ensuring that that is actually happening in an authentic way. It's not going to solve that fundamental tension, right? It's one of those, like, how do you take that tension and that friction and make it productive, as opposed to making it destructive or just kind of drive inertia or whatever. And so that's the way that we think about it. But yeah, it is a spot on observation and a real challenge, especially in terms of trying to drive scale.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the way you're thinking about it. And I mean, you have such a great perspective because you work with so many companies, so many industries. You have a really nice broad view. I'd love to hear, you know, speaking of observations, are there any trends that you're seeing in engagement right now? Is there anything that's really shifted quite a bit over the last few years for you?
So there's I don't know if it's called the obvious ones, but certainly people are still trying to figure out remote and hybrid work and kind of settling into their identity around that. And I think, and so we kind of keep an eye on it. And what we've determined there is it's the more kind of control you can give to the employee, given the constraints of the industry or the preference of the leadership or whatever, is really where that's where you can make an impact from an engagement perspective. I think the thing that we're seeing that maybe won't be as kind of visible to folks listening is we see now external employer brand becoming much more integrated into how we think about engagement and culture internally. And we see it because of, you mentioned our Top Workplaces Award and awards, and kind of that's how a lot of folks engage with us, is because they want that external validation that they're an employer of choice. And so, you know, given how much information is out there now, and frankly, in some places, how much just kind of noise information can be out there. So employers have this unique opportunity to give take authentic voice of employee and really help articulate that from an external perspective and tie that external brand to what they're doing internally. And I think you're going to see, we already are seeing marketing and HR, you know, those lines are starting to blur, honestly. And it's just super interesting and obviously something that we care a lot about because of the way that we tend to work with employers.
Yeah, well said. Employees, or I should say job candidates, are paying a lot of attention to culture, work environments. When you have a stamp of approval, like you're talking about, it makes a huge difference. Yeah. I love that perspective. And it ties right into my next question. How Energage and our company, Up Your Culture, work together. We're part of your partner program. And, you know, we've worked with a lot of engagement survey companies over time. That partnership between the data and then the, hands-on coaching that holds accountable, sounds so negative, but it's more supports them in being accountable to their own goals and what they want to accomplish. That partnership works really well, combining the platform and the analytics to the strategic plan moving forward. because you have a partner program, you have that investment of people and time. I'd love to hear from your point of view. You obviously think that combination is powerful too. Why do you think that?
So you actually nailed it in terms of the why. And so I'll sort of play that back. But the thing that we have found, and the reason that we're so excited and appreciative of partners like Up Your Culture is because there are a segment of employers who can independently, gather feedback, drive action, align the leadership team. They've got it right. Those tend to be more the exception than the rule, and that's not meant to be in a negative way. It's because folks are just busy as ever these days. This is one of these classic, important, but not necessarily always urgent activities. And the ROI can be a little bit opaque sometimes, even though now we've measured it, we've seen it, we can articulate it pretty concretely. There's all kinds of things that get in the way of that activation that you've talked about. And so, what we see, partners like Up Your Culture doing, like to your point, like there's a variety of roles that you can play, right? There is a trusted advisor role, which is just having a sounding board who can help mm-hmm. you process, frankly, that emotional journey of a leader taking in some pretty difficult feedback. Sometimes there's just a resource constraint. So maybe the capabilities do exist internally, but there's simply too much going on. So we need someone from the outside to just come in and lend a hand. I think that accountability partnership is critical, that these topics, they're so cross-cutting, they're so interwoven, they're frankly can be quite personal. Having someone from the outside who can help, especially that leadership team, really come together so it doesn't turn into a finger-pointing exercise can be critical. And then sometimes it's just about the project management. Sometimes it's really about that facilitator. And then there are times, and I'm sure you've seen these, where there really is a very difficult, you really need to do a reset on mission, vision, values. There is some serious conflict that is at the leadership level that is kind of, causing some of these things. And you need someone from the outside. Frankly, that's never going to get solved internally without some outside help. So there's almost like this menu of reasons why we see, folks like Up Your Culture able to come in and make a massive impact above and beyond what that data can unlock.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's really exciting. We have over the years sort of adapted to the needs of our clients. There was a time when we did significant workshops that brought leaders together and we gave them tools and sent them off to go use those tools. But one of our learnings a few years ago was it's a time problem. It's a time constraint. And you said it well before where, very few leaders are sitting around trying to think about how to muck things up. That's not the goal, but they're just so overworked, so busy that it's hard to give this the attention it deserves. There aren't enough hands on deck. And so, we often play the role of, identifying the need. Your people are hungry for more growth and development, but then helping them get super, super granular. And here, Bob, is what that might look like for you. Let's talk about that. And Mary, it's going to look real different for you. Let's explore what that might look like for your team. And it's that, the data allows us to get super granular in that way. So we've come to my last question. And before we wrap up, this could be an unfair question. I'm not even sure, but I'd like to look ahead. Surveys allow us to measure present and past, but if you could peek into your crystal ball, what innovations or advancements do you think are on the horizons? The ones that are really going to change the way organizations understand their people and improve their employee engagement and overall culture.
I was thinking, should we try to get through a podcast and not mention AI?
That would be hard.
Like on record right now, right? So I'll share just a couple thoughts on that. And it's almost like two two different but related views, which is, you know, stating the obvious, right? AI is going to transform the way that we think about work, the way that we think about what an employee or what an organization needs to get done with human beings. Even in our product, right? We see having AI being an analyst, an AI being an advisor, a coach potentially, right? Being an assistant, being a project manager, right? All these things, right? So that's gonna change so much. Presumably we're already seeing how we as employees can be more productive with AI. There may be lots of jobs lost at the same time. So lots of disruption. If you take that into consideration and you go into the crystal ball and you kind of think about this conversation, you say, okay, well, what isn't going to change? You know, ultimately, there will still be, I believe, and again, maybe I'm wrong on this one, but I believe there are still going to be some number of human beings who still need to come together and have conversations and figure out what needs to get done to achieve a certain objective or result for an organization. And the moment that's more than one, seriously, right? The moment that's more than one, you've got dynamics and personalities. And the moment that is more than X, you know, pick your number, there is complexity where data and advising and coaching and conversation, all the things that we're talking about come into play. So it's almost like on the one hand, yes, we are on clearly a pretty transformative journey right now when it comes to the workplace. And it's going to look, you know, radically different probably in 3 years' time, 5 years' time. But I'm also going to say that all the things that we're talking about are still going to be relevant in terms of how we, you know, achieve fulfillment and great results.
Yeah. I like your crystal ball. Well, thank you, Dan, for sharing your expertise with us, for helping us see how the data that you really, you know, have expertise in when paired with action really become a catalyst for change. You've given our listeners a great roadmap for moving beyond the numbers to build workplaces where people really thrive. And I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your partnership.
Absolutely. So for those listening, I'm going to include Dan's LinkedIn profile in the show notes. You may want to connect with him. A link to Energage. They are the research partner behind Top Workplaces, that program, which you'll want to know more about. I'm also going to share a link to the interactive culture health quiz that we provide so you can just take a little peek at how your organization may measure up and get some personalized recommendations for strengthening your culture. So thank you, Dan, and thank you to all of our listeners for joining us for another cup of Culture Over Coffee. Thanks so much for spending time with us on Culture Over Coffee. If you enjoyed the conversation, be sure to subscribe and join us for every episode. For more helpful information about company culture and employee engagement, visit us at upyourculture.com.